A few words before reading the scripture lesson. When it comes to reading the Bible from a spiritual perspective, it's often very effective to try and see elements of your own personal life reflected in the story there in the Bible, and vice versa. Which of the many characters in any given story, for instance, do you find yourself drawn to? And ask yourself why. And if you find a point of connection, try putting yourself in their shoes to see how the story might unfold. Or you might find a particular word or phrase or a theme that strikes a note of interest for you. So pay attention to that. This method of reading the Bible goes back to the very beginning. In the Latin, it's known as Lectio Divina, or divine reading. And lectio, reading, is also the word from which we get the word lectionary. And given where you are at any particular time of your point in your own journey of faith, the next time you read or hear that same story, you might connect best with another character or theme or perspective. In other words, there is never just one interpretation. And the one that strikes the chord for you is perhaps the one that you need to pay attention to at that moment. So with this as an introduction, I encourage you to find a particular character or theme that you connect with in this morning's passage, today's assigned lectionary gospel reading from Mark 2, 1 through 12, for indeed, it might be that sacred presence within you that is speaking to your spirit. When Jesus returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at a home. So many gathered around that there was no longer room for them, not even in front of the door. And he was speaking the word to them. Then some people came, bringing him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. And when they could not bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And after having dug through it, they let down the mat on which the paralytic lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now, some of the scribes were sitting there, questioning in their hearts, "Why does this fellow speak in this way? It is blasphemy. Who can forgive sins except God alone?" At once Jesus perceived in his spirit that they were discussing these questions among themselves, and he said to them, "Why do you raise such questions in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Stand up and take your mat and walk'? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, stand up, take your mat, and go to your home." And he stood up and immediately took the mat and went out before all of them, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." To God bless the reading and the hearing of this word. Amen. Well, did you find any point of connection in this story? Because as it turns out, there are several interesting, informative, and different perspectives. And the cast of characters in any given story is usually larger than we at first realize. So let's take a look. There is the large crowd gathered around Jesus to hear his words and to hear him teach. So perhaps you located yourself among them, listening with anticipation to Jesus' words and learning his ways. And there's the four friends who carried the paralyzed friend on a mat, who rip an opening of the roof of the house in order to lower the man down to Jesus. Well, I call this group of characters the mat carriers. And perhaps you can relate to taking the actions necessary to do whatever it takes to help someone else in need. And there's the person who suffered from paralysis, whose sins are forgiven, and whose body is healed both spiritually and physically, and he was able to stand up and walk home. So perhaps you can relate to what might be described as areas of paralysis in your life, whether it be physical or emotional or spiritual. Anything that's holding you back from experiencing wholeness and from living life to the fullest. Well, there's Jesus, of course, who after being interrupted by human need, brings healing and wholeness to the person who was paralyzed. Again, both spiritual healing in the form of forgiveness of sins and physical healing. And since all of us are called to further the ministry that was begun by Jesus, it's not uncommon for us to relate to Jesus himself. It is in the attitudes and the actions of Jesus in this story that we recognize our need to forgive and offer possibilities of new life to others. And let's not forget that there are the scribes who accuse Jesus of blasphemy for making claims of forgiveness that only God can make. For the scribes, the entire incident is one of who has the proper authority to say and do certain things. And Jesus, in their estimation, was outside the limits of proper authority. So perhaps there is a point of connection here as well for you, questioning the authority that others claim to have, those whom you believe have no right to be in positions of authority, or for those whose authority that you no longer respect. Well, approaching any biblical story with this method of seeking points of personal connection can make the scriptures come alive, adding a deeper element of learning and spiritual growth. Now, at some level, there's probably a bit of each and every character in all of us that we can relate to. As a preacher, however, when I prepare a sermon, I usually try to focus on just one particular element, angle, or perspective. And when I reflect upon this community of faith, known as College Hill, I gravitate toward the actions of the friends who helped the person who was paralyzed. What moved me was that what this story has to say about being a compassionate friend to someone in need. Or to use the imagery from this story itself of being a mat carrier. The four friends, each carrying a corner of the mat on which their friend lay, could not get inside of the house to see Jesus because the crowd was just so large. But not letting that stop them, they took the extraordinary measure of climbing up on the roof with their friend and ripping a hole in a mud-thatched roof large enough for a person is a drastic step. And I have always wondered what the homeowner thought about all of this. Let alone the debris falling down on Jesus and the large crowd. Well, evidently that's beside the point, and they call that reading too much into the story. But nonetheless, the gospel writer Mark describes the result of their effort with this simple phrase. Jesus saw their faith, the faith of the four friends. Interestingly, there is no specific mention of the faith of the person needing to be healed. And there is no verbal public confession of faith accompanying these actions, because the actions themselves spoke of the confidence and trust in Jesus. So unlike other, and most all other, healing stories in the Bible, which include the line, "Your faith has made you well," this person was healed in response to the faith shown by his friends. It was their voluntary, persistent, active intercession and teamwork that made all the difference. So perhaps there's a mantra in there for us, as individuals and as a congregation. If we or you can't come in through the door, then tear the roof off. This should give us encouragement to intercede
for those who are in need. And this should give us courage to put our hopes and our prayers into action. It's certainly one of the ways to fulfill at least two of the 3 points in our congregation's mission statement: to receive and openly share the love of God, and to reach out with a compassionate voice for peace and justice. And one of the important lessons we can deduce from this story, then, is that while our individual faith is important, so is the faith and the actions of the entire community of faith. So, to use the imagery of today's story again, sometimes you may find yourself like the person who is paralyzed lying on the mat, relying on the help of your family, and your friends, and community to carry you. And at other times, you may find yourself like one of the mat carriers, joining with family, friends, and this community of faith to help another. So I encourage you, therefore, to reflect upon the following. Have you ever considered that it may be the faith, love, compassion, and actions of your family, friends, and community that helps contribute to your healing and wholeness? And have you ever considered that it may be by your faith and love and compassion and actions that a family member or friend, or perhaps a complete stranger, finds healing and wholeness? Give thanks to God for those who have been or currently are mat carriers in your life. Be willing to be a mat carrier for others. In fact, let us be known as a congregation of mat carriers, those particular Presbyterians who are willing to tear the roof off. Amen.